This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by PRMIseattle.com. Primary residential mortgage. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
This is a pretty terrifying story. One that started last night and has not gotten any better. One that involves inmates escaping in a violent fashion from Echo Glen Children's Center in Snoqualmie. Now, this is a juvenile detention center, including when juveniles are exceptionally violent and are incredible threats. We put them in a juvenile detention center, or as the activists like to call it, a youth prison or a youth jail. They say that as if these people are not supposed to be there, as if they don't belong, as if being accused of, oh, I don't know, murder should still mean you get a one-way ticket to some restorative justice program that doesn't actually work because it's run by ideologues who simply want to abolish prisons, and so they'll pretend that they're helping you so they can convince judges and activists and politicians that we don't actually need those prisons that they went into saying they wanted to abolish. Okay. Five inmates are out. They escaped.
Potentially five juveniles that are currently residing in Echo Glen have escaped from the facility.
They have escaped from the facility. And they did it in a violent way. We're told by Sergeant Tim Meyer from the King County Sheriff's Office that they got physical.
These juveniles assaulted multiple members of the staff here at Echo Glen. Their injuries, fortunately, are very minor. They were able to obtain the keys to a 2018 Ford Fusion and then fled the area.
So they stole a car to flee the area. Now, these teenagers, these escapees, between the ages of 14 and 17, which, if I'm being totally honest, a 14-year-old looks like a 17-year-old, and a 17-year-old now looks like a 9-year-old, mostly because the 9-year-old now looks like a 17-year-old. You can't really tell. You're just looking for menacing kids in that car.
Yeah,
if they're dumb enough to stick together.
Good luck if anybody can pinpoint what a 17-year-old looks like on the dock. Because, yeah, sometimes they look like grown men.
Sometimes, like, you're 17, you look like you're 43.
Yeah.
And you're as dangerous, potentially, as that 43-year-old criminal who also is accused of murder. I mean, this is insane to me that this is happening, and we don't really have a general sense of even how it occurred. How do you escape this facility? As a kid,
possession of stolen property, possession of firearms. One of the subjects is involved in a murder one case.
Okay. So, in other words, not that big of a deal. They don't know yet whether or not these teens had any help to get out of the juvenile detention center, meaning if there was someone who was from the outside conniving, coming up with a plan to release these people. They took advantage of it. We don't know. It's possible that maybe there was just some, you know, staff member who let their guard down and these kids took advantage of it. They've been waiting for it the entire time. Whatever the issue is, this reminds us that juveniles who are in the criminal justice system, no matter what folks on the left want you to believe, sometimes they belong there. And I would argue that if you're wanted for murder and you're also the type of person, or you're implicated in a murder and you're the type of person who escapes from a jail, you're the perfect person who should not be in a restorative justice program. Why is it that when it comes to juveniles, you have more and more and more people saying restorative justice, restorative justice, restorative justice? It's actually kind of simple. We don't want, there are two different kinds of people. There are people like me and probably like you. We don't want someone who's a juvenile to be in jail. Just as a general rule, we would prefer that they be on the right path, not commit any crimes whatsoever, always do the right thing, and never get violent. There are other people on the left, usually, whose main point is that the criminal justice system is evil, it's inherently racist, it's systemically racist. And all of these criminals are the real victims, not the people that they murdered or assaulted or raped or stole from. I mean, yeah, they went through some temporary trauma, but is that really the trauma that a black teenager goes through living in the United States? I mean, this is a deeply racist country still coming to terms with its racist past. That's what they believe. That's what they believe. And the differences in what I believe and you believe and what they believe allows us to say, okay, there are some kids, even though we reluctantly want them to face a jail sentence for a crime that they committed, we still want them there because we understand the risk that they pose to the community. They, on the other side, don't see that point. Not at all. I've actually got a story up right now at foxnews.com on this. So that's happening. Just make sure you're on the lookout. The first thing I thought of was if this was connected to the string of crimes that we saw in the university district over the last couple of days. But it's not. Just the timeline doesn't match. And they drove in a Mercedes in the UW case. Although I suppose they could have stolen a car, but I don't think the timelines match up. So there's that. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Education.
Let's talk about education, because there are some students who are being deprived of their education. Deprived of their education right now in some schools in Los Angeles. Now, I fully expect these kinds of policies to come statewide in Washington, but in L.A., there's this bill that's pushing the idea of mandatory vaccinations for public school students. But that's public schools. In this case, though, we have a parent, or several parents actually, and their kids, filing a lawsuit over a vaccine mandate from a charter school where they decided to separate the unvaccinated students from the vaccinated ones, refusing to let the unvaccinated students into the classroom, roping them off from their classmates, because that'll definitely stop the spread of COVID.
As long as it's a velvet rope, not just like some sort of
twine
rope.
It was
rope.
A twine one.
Ugh, yeah, that's not going to stop anything.
And the kind that wasn't like tightly bound together, so little
there's a
strands.
Bunch of bristles.
Yeah,
stuff
whatever
on
they
it?
Call that.
Oh,
and
they're frayed.
Yeah, they're frayed. And then it hurts when you grab it. One of the students who was refused entry into her classroom is Ella. Ella Nowam. She was on with Fox and Friends this morning.
It was more of a feeling of like disappointment and, you know, like abandonment that I felt coming from, you know, like my entire school administration. It was more that and less hurtful. I just felt, you know, like I was kind of like kicked to the curb by my entire school they were supposed to be the ones, you know, backing me up, encouraging me to attend school, to go learn. You know, it's not every day that you hear a teenager wants to go to school. But in this case, you know, that's all we wanted here. We weren't here to protest. We weren't here to make a point. We weren't here to start any, you know, drama or commotion on campus. We were just there to go to school.
They were just there to go to school. They were just there to be kids. Something that we are stealing from an entire generation. Over fear-mongering about a virus that barely impacts them. The younger they are, the less likely they are to even have symptoms that are worth mentioning due to COVID. And we're putting them through this. I don't think, if I were a parent, I don't think I would want my kid to be vaccinated at this point. Not because I think it's inherently dangerous, but because I just don't think kids need it. Now, some people hold a completely different view, and I get that. Believe me, I am vaccinated. But I don't think I would get, if I had like a 9-year-old kid, they're not getting vaccinated because they don't need it, in my view. Now, could that view change? Yes. It absolutely can. But right now, I wouldn't put that on my kid. And so I would push back at any kind of mandate that impacts them that would force me into a decision of having to get my kid vaccinated against my will as a parent. And that's what you're seeing more and more here, including from parents who are vaccinated themselves saying, look, I'll get vaccinated. I'll take that risk because I'm, you know, 52 years old. And the chances of me having long-term impacts of COVID much different than if I were to give it to my 14-year-old kid. And we certainly know that we haven't tested the vaccine on young kids or a booster on young kids in the long term. We just don't know that data for this vaccine. Doesn't mean they're going to end up having children with three arms. It doesn't mean any of that. But I understand why a parent might be a little bit cautious of what's being done to their kid, especially under duress. And in a lot of ways, that's kind of what I view this as. These are kids who are desperate to get back to life as they once knew it. And now they're being pressured into getting a vaccine that they may not want or need, or the parent doesn't think they need. I just think that that's wrong. I don't like these mandates. And I'm so proud of students like this who stand up and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to be bullied into a decision that I'm not ready for. You've told us our entire careers in school not to feel pressured into making bad decisions, to use our gut. But now you're telling us, no, sorry, you don't get to do that. You tell us that we shouldn't be put in jail for life if we commit a crime while we're 18 years old because our brains are still developing. So you treat us differently there, but if we're looking to transition genders, you say, no, you get to make that decision. But then if you say, well, I don't want to get the vaccine, no, that's, we're going back into the land of your brain is undeveloped. Pick a lane. Pick a lane. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, if you missed my appearance this morning on Fox Business, you can head on over to youtube.com/Jason Rantz. youtube.com/Jason Rantz. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on Planet Sawant?
A group of entitled, low-skilled, millennial Starbucks employees, they're trying to unionize their coffee shops in Seattle. At this point, I believe there are only two that have announced, one of them being on Westlake. I believe there's only two so far. Now, I imagine that that number will increase at some point, even over the course of the next week or so. That would be my guess. Because this is a city with a lot of young people who love the idea of feeling empowered enough to be able to even form a union, let alone be in one. They hate their employer. These are folks who truly loathe working for Starbucks because they're big corporations and they're evil and they're exploiting me. Do you realize that they make me work 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday? Did you realize that?
I had no clue that's what they were doing over
there.
Did you
know they don't pay me the wage that I agreed to take when I was offered this job? Do you realize that?
Really?
Yeah, I know. Wow. Disgusting.
I color me shocked.
Human rights violation. I only get 2 weeks vacation. I know.
Like 10 business days of vacation?
It's ludicrous. I was all like, I thought it was reverse. I thought I only had to work 2 weeks. And now you're telling me I only not have to work? Like, that's bizarre. And they give me a few holidays off. I mean, they give me Juneteenth off, cool, but not Ramadan.
Really?
Yeah, I know I'm an atheist, but still, I demand it. Yeah, thank you. Oh, we got it. So they're trying to unionize, and of course, who was their big cheerleader yesterday at an announcement event outside of the corporate Starbucks office?
Shama Sawant.
Shama Sawant.
Power at the bargaining table comes from power outside. Huh? We are talking with Starbucks workers about a national day of action to help spread the unionizing struggle to hundreds of stores. Because that is what is needed to win unions at hundreds of stores. For workers to coordinate in a nationwide campaign with powerful demands and in unity with the unity against the billionaire Starbucks bosses.
Okay, yeah, all the bosses are billionaires. Did you know that? I didn't even know that. They're all billionaires.
Every last one of them.
Yeah, the guy who runs your store, manages your store, billionaire.
Billionaire.
Yeah.
And that's why he's driving the Honda Accord outside.
And weirdly can't finally get adult braces, which he's needed the entire time. And let's be honest, that haircut is like hideous. You're still going to Rudy's. You can't go to... Okay. Got it. Come on, man. Now, apparently some of the workers from the Buffalo, New York unionized shop showed up. How do you think they paid for that? It's almost like the union is paying them to go around and push their propaganda. Oh, it's so weird. There was a solidarity rally last night at Cal Anderson Park because progressives and socialists love solidarity marches and solidarity rallies. They can't just send out a tweet that's hashtag, I'm with her. They have to show up and give speeches using the same talking points that the previous speaker used. And of course, the people who show up to these rallies in support and solidarity, like the Starbucks worker, they are not putting the energy into maybe growing yourself professionally so that you can actually be worth the money that you're asking from a company. they just complain that they're not getting enough for being low skilled. They're not going to do anything about their low skills. They're going to complain that their low skills aren't generating them the hourly wage that they would prefer to have. Huh. Here's a low wage, low skilled worker. His name is Brent. Starbucks employee at the Westlake drive-thru location. That's especially hard because not only do you have to make the coffee, you have to extend your arm with a beverage in your hand and not spill it outside of a tiny window into a parked car.
Look, it's a dangerous job, Jason.
I agree.
Have you ever been 3 feet away from vehicles while doing your job? No, you haven't. They could be run over at any moment.
No, they're inside. They can't be run over.
Cars can go through walls.
No, I mean, not, I mean, they
I mean,
could.
They don't yeah, often, they, rare, or ever, yeah. I don't know if they ever have, but.
I mean, think of all the lost limbs from putting your hand out this window.
Exactly. Now you understand the potential is
I mean,
there.
It's never actually happened. I'm not aware of a single story ever, actually, which is kind of weird. You would expect one story. No.
Nothing.
Someone
not yet.
Lost a toe once, but that was in the bathroom.
Not yet, though, is the thing.
Well, here's our friend Brent. Brent?
We will not have any change in our stores that we do not have input in.
Was what? Did that make any sense? Hold on. Let's go through this.
We will not have any change in our stores that we do not have input in.
It's a lot of nuts.
Double negative.
We will not have any change in our store that we will not have input in?
Yes.
We will not have any change in our. Does he mean they want input on changes?
Yeah, it would have simply just been. We will have input on all changes at our store.
We will not have any change in our store.
Okay, we will not have a change in our store. So no changes in our store.
That we do not have input in.
That we do not have
a seat at the table.
That's very reverse.
Okay.
Should have started with seat at the table, having input, and then changes in the store.
No, see, if I were them, I would say up there, my apologies for getting roped into the stupid rally. I realize that I'm not worth what I'm asking for. And by the way, we're not even really clear what we're asking for. We just want something more. I'm going to go back to work now and I'm going to put my head down, learn some skills so soon I can actually get out of this dead-end job.
That would have been a real curveball at that sort of rally.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I don't want to be a 35-year-old who's still working as a barista, but then I realized I think this guy is 39 and still working as a barista. I mean, he could, at some point, aspire to be a Como reporter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They have those opportunities for Starbucks employees?
Apparently, you can speak like this dude and get a job there. I'm not going to name the reporter whose name is attached to this story.
That's really kind
of... No, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to embarrass Michelle that I almost gave it. I'll narrow it down. I don't want to embarrass M. Esteban. No, that doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
No, I'm going to go with Michelle. Michelle E. I don't want to call her out for such a poorly written story. But oh my God, what was I doing in my office today as I was looking over this piece?
Yelling at me?
Why?
Because you were mad about everything in today and how bad this was written?
Yes. This is the first sentence of this story. A group of employees who work for Starbucks are making moves to unionize their coffee shops in Seattle, where the company's home office is located, and where the first store of the national coffee chain is located. So generally, you don't have to put the same two words in the same sentence, right? Two times like that.
A group of employees who work with... located and located.
Pay attention.
Oh, sorry.
I know there's lots of different errors in this, but starting with that. You don't have to do located and located in the same sentence within just a few words of each other. But it starts off, a group of employees who work for Starbucks. You mean a group of Starbucks employees?
I believe that's what employees mean.
Okay. Are making moves to unionize. You mean moving to unionize? Where the company's home office is located and where the first store of the national coffee chain is located. You mean where both the company's home office and the first national coffee chain is located? Next one. A rally was scheduled to be held Tuesday evening at Cal Anderson Park. You mean a rally is scheduled Tuesday evening? I read this entire story.
You should send
the entire story
to Michelle E.
I almost did. I sent her a note, but then I deleted it. Because then I thought, you know what? She wouldn't help me if there was an error in my piece. You know why?
Why?
Because there are never any errors in my piece.
Oh, yeah.
1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look, it's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services at alpineclean.com. This is a part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Pierce County, where the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department is now endorsing any business that institutes vaccine mandates. They're not issuing a policy that mandates the vaccine passports. They're simply saying we support the businesses that implement a policy on its own. So in a lot of ways, they are acting both cowardly, but also in a way that I support, in that it doesn't come with a policy. It's kind of weird how I feel. Like, you are too much of a coward, Dr. Chen, Anthony Chen, or any of the leadership there, to actually implement the policy. You're scared of the political ramifications. Yet at the same time, I'm grateful that you didn't, because it's a horrible policy. One that doesn't do anything that it claims to do, which is stop the spread of the virus. Really? The virus spread in King County. There's a vaccine passport in place. Why is that? Oh, because the vaccine that you want mandated for people doesn't stop the spread of Omicron, which is responsible for, what, 99% of the COVID cases? So what exactly are you pushing a vaccine mandate for? They've got a program. It's called Bravo. Businesses requiring a vaccine verification on site. Weirdly, though, it's Bravo spelled with one V. Why not just have two Vs and just call it Bravo? It's two words that are called with a V in the name.
I mean, have you ever tried to come up with an acronym that can...
Just call it Bravo with two Vs. I don't understand why you can't spell it with two Vs. It's pronounced the same way.
Yeah, Bravo with two Vs isn't a word. What if you lose people?
You're not losing anyone. The people who are excited about this, period. You're not losing anyone. Except potential customers if you're one of the businesses that decides to sign up. And maybe that's why only five businesses have signed up. Only five. So far. They expect that more will sign up over the course of the coming days. And they're going to say, Bravo to you for joining us. For joining Alma Restaurant, Crudo & Cotto, Edison City Ale House, and Red Star Taco Bar, plus the Grand Cinema. So four restaurants and a movie theater. Wow. It's going to make a dent. According to Billy Beckett, he's the co-owner of Red Star in Tacoma, speaking to the Tacoma News Tribune. We want to be part of the solution, and we want to end the pandemic. Yeah. Did the pandemic end in King County because of the vaccine passport or no? No? Okay. Yeah. So, oh, because of the reason I just met. Okay, got it. Director of Health, Dr. Anthony Chen, said, especially for restaurants, the reality is that customers must remove their masks to enjoy the experience. Even if the staff is vaccinated and masked, the risk of community spread decreases if the people around you are also vaccinated. That is not true. That is not true. That is not true, unless you're trying, because he's implying there a causal effect, meaning if you get vaccinated, you can't spread COVID. Is that true? No, we know that's not true. Why do we know it's not true, other than looking at the actual science, or maybe listening to Pfizer, who openly says, the company openly says, yeah, it evades our vaccine. That's why we're doing a new vaccine for a booster, specifically for Omicron. You can just look around and realize everyone has gotten COVID, except for me and Peyton, weirdly.
We had to have had it at some
point. I'm assuming too. I know.
Good for us.
It's bizarre how public health officials are purposefully misleading. They're choosing to mislead because they want you to get vaccinated. And even if they're feeling justified, like the ends justify the means kind of thing. I would argue that they don't, because I don't trust a lot of public health officials now. That's not a good place for anyone to be. Because there's going to be a time, unfortunately, that we need to trust the very people we no longer trust because they're not being honest. I still can't get over the 700% hospitalization rate increase that we were told. We were told that the state saw a 700% month-over-month increase in daily hospitalization rates, where the average used to be, I think the exact one I can't remember, 76 a day, and it went to 700 a day or something, or whatever it was. And that's not true. Did you know that they don't actually track the incidental cases of COVID? The hospitalizations? Incidental meaning I was shot, I got taken to the hospital, they found out I had COVID, and they counted me as a COVID case. I thought we were overdoing that when, what, 2 years ago we realized that the Washington State Department of Health, I think we broke this story, or we were one of the first to talk about it, I can't remember. But the state acknowledged that they counted gunshot deaths as COVID cases because the victims of the gunshots were COVID positive at the time that they were shot and killed. They didn't die from COVID. They died from the bullet. And yet it was listed as a COVID case. Now, at the time, they said it's only like 5 or 6 cases. Don't worry, we're going to fix it from the record. Only to then say, now, hospitalizations. Well, we can't track all that info. It's hard. It's like, that's a lot of work. It's really hard to track that. I mean, how could you expect us to track that? Do you know how many of them are vaccinated? Well, yeah, X amount are vaccinated. So then why can't you tell us whether or not they came in because they had COVID? You can't figure that out. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to believe that. Right. He says, nothing is 100%. We're just making sure that there are all these different layers of protections. One of the protections he mentions is washing your hands, which does not protect you against COVID. Doesn't mean you shouldn't wash your hands. You should. They're disgusting. We know where they've been. We literally know where they've been. And we don't want to touch it. But washing your hands doesn't stop the spread of COVID. It was once believed to stop the spread of COVID. It's not the case anymore. Period. End of story. Meanwhile, since we're on the topic of COVID, remember how that 700% stat just dropped over the weekend?
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Saturday, yes.
And it came from folks in hospital saying, we beg of you, please, get the vaccine. Wash your hands. Stop licking surfaces. Because okay. That's how COVID spreads. Don't do that. We are overwhelmed by the cases, they said on Saturday. Well, we told you it was either yesterday or 2 days ago that Western Washington case rates not only dropped, but also the hospitalization rates dropped. Because we hit the peak in Western Washington over the weekend when they told us to get vaccinated again to help save the hospital system. Well, now we can tell you that Eastern Washington is going through the same thing. The Omicron peak has been reached, and it's now either plateauing or heading down, depending where in Eastern Washington you're looking. They were always going to be a little bit behind Western Washington because Western Washington got hit before Eastern Washington. It's almost like there are ebbs and flows to these surges, kind of like with the cold or the flu. I know how odd that that's how it happens. The vice president of the Washington State Hospital Association, Taya Brilli, says, yep, hospitalizations are going up in some places, but overall, they're going down. But then soon they'll say, but in Idaho, things are still bad and they're going to start using some of our hospitals. Really? You just said we don't even have enough people for enough space for our own people. But now how are the Idaho patients coming over? Well, we're making room. We're accommodating, but it's very tough. Oh, so you can't accommodate. Well, yeah, but we're struggling a little bit because we don't have any staff. Where'd the staff go? I mean, we fired a lot of them. Why'd you fire them? Because they didn't get vaccinated. Does Omicron evade the vaccine?
Yeah.
Should you bring back the staff members that don't have COVID but also don't have the vaccine? And so they can't actually safely work without being impacted in any meaningful way in the context of a virus that evades the vaccine?
No.
So what are you going to do? Oh, we're going to force vaccinated people who are symptomatic of COVID and they actually have COVID and they're, you know, sneezing all over the place and snot is dripping from their nose uncontrollably, but we'll put them in a mask. Okay, so you're just going to torture them and risk spreading it to people who are sick in the hospital. And then, by the way, someone comes in who's not sick with COVID, but one of your COVID positive nurses gives them COVID. Are you going to count that person as a COVID case? Yo. Okay. You see how it all works? Kind of circular like that? That's the stat I want. After you force COVID positive nurses and the true heroes of a hospital, the lab technicians, after you force them to come back to the office to make up for the fired, unvaccinated staffers, who, by the way, some of whom don't have COVID, how many did you get? How many people gave COVID to patients who came into the hospital without it? And are you counting them as part of your 700%?
I got a feeling they're not going to release that stat.
No, they're probably not. It's too hard to figure it out. Yeah. Okay. Everything's very difficult when you don't like the end result. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We're live on this Wednesday afternoon. Peter Dinklage is an actor. He's actually a very good actor. You might know him from Game of Thrones. He is a little person. He lives with dwarfism. And he has spent a lot of time, completely understandably, trying to break the stereotypes associated with people in living with his condition, but really break some of the stereotypes of how they are portrayed in film or TV. It's very difficult, right? It's difficult. The idea that you would have, you know, a James Bond character as someone who's 4'5" doesn't connect well with a lot of audiences. Now, you can say that's because of bigotry, or you can just say that society hasn't changed its views enough on this because they haven't been exposed to those kinds of characters. There are whole sorts of arguments that you can make. He is upset, or at least he called out a movie that is coming out next year. It hasn't been filmed yet, but it was announced for next year because he believed the huge possibility of it leaning into a lot of the stereotypes that he's been rightly fighting against. The movie is a live-action remake of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That is a movie that you would think would not be remade in 2022 as a live-action film, given the wokeness of representation on film. But this is made especially ironic because this is a woke remake of Snow White, because they've cast, and they're presenting it as casting, someone who refers to herself as a white Latina, Rachel Zegler, who's from West Side Story, who I actually didn't think was very good, but she's getting a lot of awards, so I guess I was wrong. So it's a woke remake of Snow White, but it has the Seven Dwarves characters in it. And just to remind you, these are seven dwarves who live in a cave. So kind of really leaning in to the stereotypical characters that you will cast dwarves for. So Peter Dinklage called it out. He was on a podcast, Mark Maron's podcast. And, you know, in fairness to him, he said, I'm going to give it some time to see how they end up treating these characters. But what's going on with all of this?
They're very proud to cast a Latino actress as
Latina.
Snow White.
Yeah.
But you're still telling the story of Snow
still
White,
Snow White
and
yeah.
Seven Dwarfs.
Sure.
So look, take a step back and look at what you're doing there.
Yeah.
I know. That makes no sense to me.
But, oh, so what,
you
what,
can be, you're progressive in one way, and then but you're still making that backward story of about seven dwarves living in a cave. What the are you doing, man? We, you know, have I done nothing to advance the cause from my soapbox? I guess I'm not loud enough.
So Disney immediately said, we're casting the a new character within the Seven Dwarfs. He's named Snowflake. I'm kidding! I actually think he's right.
Yeah, no, he's got, he I makes think he's 100%
correct. It's also not even Disney's best original sort of, you know, they call it the class. I don't particularly think this is very good. I don't necessarily...
You don't like Snow White?
No. And I was going to say, I don't think we need to do remakes of cartoons and make them live action, but I'll be honest. They've done a lot of live action stuff based on the cartoons that I actually really like. The Jungle Book, for example, was way better as a live action film as it was a cartoon. In any case, Disney has now put out a statement in response to the comments, and it does kind of read along the lines of my joke of, okay, we're going to have a new personality called Snowflake, or we're going to do now, Peter Dinklage, would you like to be angry dwarf of the set? Right? Angry is on them? Happy, grumpy. Sneeze, grumpy. He's not grumpy, he's angry there. And again, I actually agree with him. They put out a statement saying, to avoid reinforcing stereotypes from the original animated film, we're taking a different approach with these seven characters and have been consulting with members of the dwarfism community. We look forward to sharing more as the film heads into production after a lengthy development period. I would love to be a fly on the wall in that meeting. You've called up the dwarfism community, I'm assuming different nonprofits and whatnot. Say, hey, we want to talk to you about a movie that we're coming into production on soon, and we've got some ideas that we want to run by you. And, of course, the activists in the community are super excited, like, finally, we're going to get our James Bond. We're going to get our leading role in a romantic comedy, and the comedy will have nothing to do with height. And so they get into that meeting, super pumped, like, okay. What's this movie? Because, oh my God, I'm not going to lie. I got so super pumped about the possibilities. Because I'm thinking, and I know not to cut you off because you're going to tell, but I got to be, this is how excited I am. You're going to give us like a spy thriller. And that would mean so much to the community. And not even some like rote thing. You're not redoing James Bond. You're giving us our own. Okay, tell us what it is. Come again? Snow White and the Seven Dwarves? You're a remake, huh? But we're not cast as Snow White. We're cast just as the Dwarf. Okay. We're going to leave. You do valet parking, right? Thanks. Appreciate it, guys. Bye. Imagine that meeting.
Oh, yeah. Awkward.
What could they possibly do that's different with these characters? They're all still bait. They have different personalities and they live in a cabin in the woods. What are you gonna do with that? That's literally in the IMDb profile explaining the movie. But it's innovative. They're slightly taller.